The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Jesus Christ.
Something we're all familiar with is the practice of setting goals, right? You might think right now, the beginning of spring training for the Astros, that they have set a goal for themselves to be mediocre. Not likely. You know, everybody wants to see them repeat, and certainly they do too, and so they set as their goal, even at the beginning of spring training, that they could repeat as world champions. And of course, the Olympic athletes that we're watching on TV these days, they also didn't set out at the beginning of their training to get the bronze medal, right? Everybody wants to get the gold medal, to achieve the highest possible goal for what they truly care about. Virtually every other part of our life, we could see the same thing. If you have a goal in education, maybe it's to get a degree, or your personal health, you may have goals in your personal health, or in relationships, or along your career path, that you want to achieve a certain goal in your business life. We also are familiar that to get to these goals, we have to have a plan. We have to have a plan. It's interesting to me that every year we begin Lent about the same time as the baseball players are going to Florida. Okay, we go into the desert and they go to Florida. Okay, and so we might even think of the next 40 days. It's actually about the same amount of time there at spring training, because they're having the first game of the baseball season about the same time we're celebrating the resurrection of the Lord. In any case, we might think of our own Lenten journey, the 40 days of Lent, as our own sort of spiritual spring training, okay? We set goals, and then we set about some plan to achieve the goal. Do you have any goals for the next 5 weeks? Now, I'm not really thinking here of the objectives, but the actual goal. So you might have identified some things that you might have for your Lenten practices, things that you do. But what's the ultimate goal? What are all those things designed to help you achieve? Sometimes someone will say, well, I want to get closer to God. Okay, we probably all, on some level, would like to get closer to God. Others may verbalize a desire to recapture or to rediscover something in their spiritual life that maybe has faded over time. Maybe a goal, spoken or unspoken, is to change. Some change that isn't just going to go back to the way it was 40 days from now. You know, not just a temporary, but an enduring change in my life. Maybe a goal for Lent is freedom. Freedom from something that has you enslaved, that has somehow become your master. Or maybe a goal is to simply make a difference in the world. We also know that success in achieving goals is determined in large part by three things. At least the way I conceive of it, these three things are all important to achieving goals. The first one, a goal that you truly desire. It may seem obvious, but I would imagine that some of the goals that we have never met in our life was because on some level we didn't truly desire it. So whether it's a World Series championship, a gold medal, or freedom, or holiness, do you truly desire it? The second, and it's somewhat related, a goal that is meaningful, full of meaning for you. You might have heard of a big, hairy, audacious goal, a BHAG. You know, it's something big or deep or powerful for you, something meaningful, something that touches a core value in your life. It's not superficial. It goes in deep. And as I was thinking about that, it occurred to me that oftentimes, probably, it's not that we lack willpower in our life. Instead, we fail because there's nothing really powerful about the goal that we've set. Not a lack of willpower, but not much power in the goal. Take a look at what you're doing for Lent, for your spiritual spring training. Is it connected directly and deeply to something big, deep, and meaningful? Third, success also requires a concrete plan of action, something that is specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and trackable. Have anybody heard of SMART goals? Okay. Specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and trackable. They say those are the five ways to concretize a goal so that you will achieve it. We also know the opposite of that, that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Good intentions don't get us very far along a difficult path, but it'll get us a long way along an easy one. So get specific, get concrete. So if we were to turn these things now to the moral or spiritual goals for our Lenten spring training, we could look to the church and church people who for hundreds of years have been doing Lent, just like we are. They have handed on to us some really great coaching tips. So if your goal is to grow closer to God or to rediscover your faith, to be freed from slavery to some sin, to make some enduring change or to make a difference, there are three things to undertake. And I've been calling this the Trinity of Lenten Practices. And as I came up with that term, I remembered someone, and this is a complete tangent here. This is the part of the homily you don't have to remember, but probably will. You ever heard of the Trinity of Cajun cooking? Or the Trinity of the Cajun kitchen? I've heard of the Trinity of the Italian kitchen, and there's probably a Trinity of the Mexican kitchen. And I've been asking people after Mass to tell me what the three things are. So this is now the fourth Mass. So I can tell you that the Trinity of Cajun cooking is celery, bell pepper, and onions. Right. Not carrots. Okay. So if you know the Trinity, the three ingredients of the Italian kitchen or the Mexican kitchen, I'm still interested in those. So back to our homily. So what are these three things, this Trinity of Lenten practices? Well, before I tell you, let's recap and see how we've gotten to this point. One, Lent, like spiritual spring training, needs to have goals. Two, success at reaching goals depends on three things: a goal you truly desire, a goal that is big, deep, and meaningful, and a smart plan of concrete action. So the classic three-part plan of action, also known as the Lenten Trinity, consists of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. That's the classical formulation, but those three words really represent three categories of things, three categories of concrete action. So prayer, it's all about time with God. not simple recitation of prayers, but time spent with God, like Jesus over the 40 days in the desert, of presence to God. Quiet time, silence. All of us could use more of that. Fasting isn't just about food. It's really about self-denial. In a larger sense, our ability to say no to ourselves. How many of you all are really good at that? I didn't think so. Yeah, we are not very good, especially in our culture, of saying no to ourselves when we're always being tempted to say yes to ourselves. So fasting represents mortification or self-denial. Asceticism is another fancy word for this ability to say no to our impulses and our bad habits and to gain some freedom back. And the third is almsgiving, a category that represents more than just putting money in the collection basket. But that's a really good idea too. Okay. It also means charity, kindness, service, you know, generosity, putting our neighbor into the equation. So we have prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So not to get too complicated with all this, I would say that these three work well together, but they don't really work that well in isolation. And I'll see if I can demonstrate that. Self-denial does move us towards freedom, getting some of our power back, but it can also be pretty selfish and self-centered. It's not hard to think of when we set as a goal for ourselves to lose weight, though it might be good for our health, that somehow that can be self-centered or self-serving. But when we bring into the equation almsgiving or charity or acts of service, our heart is expanded to the neighbor, to the other. And so we're brought out of that centered focus into a broader concern for our neighbor. And then prayer, or time with God, moves us towards the source of our life, toward the one relationship of true and enduring love, toward the one who can heal, strengthen, forgive, and hold us in our storms. So all three of these need to be a part of our spring training, our spiritual spring training. If we practice those things, we will achieve our spiritual goals.